Coming to you live from my place of zen, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who was never more terrified in the history of Big Brother than when Demetrius had the scissors. I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Big Brother Canada Monday Night Spectacular here to recap the first day of May here in the Odyssey, and we are ready to go with just under 3 weeks left to play in Big Brother Canada 5, and we have a great panel here joining us, somebody who's just here to talk to his friends. Of course, the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Doing great. Happy to be here, in a much better mood today than I was a few days ago. But, you know, I'm like Ike. I just got to, you know, get things out and then I'm fine. You know?
Yes, Brent, I have to say that I really do enjoy you on the Sunday LFC roundtable. I feel like that you're very animated. It's very fun for me to just watch that show, doing a great job with the LFC on that show.
Thank you very much. It's fun to have Taryn there. He's the host, of course. And so it's fun to throw shade, because I don't really throw a whole lot of shade at you. So it's fun to throw shade at him.
Yes. And also back with us, a woman with natural hair. Here is Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. And Brent and I are currently in our matching LFC t-shirts. Very exciting. Yes. We have a uniform now. So, thanks to Wendy.
The LFC t-shirt.
Wendy makes t-shirts now, and it's great. Yeah, she offered them to us, and they're great.
Yeah, she's
great.
A patron of Rob as a Podcast, has been one for a while. She is a famous t-shirt bootleg lady. That's what she calls herself. She's all into it. So she gave me a few different choices, and this is the one that I chose. And then Melissa now has one, and I'm sure at some point Alex and Taryn will have theirs as well.
Okay. All right. So there you go. And will you guys, Brent, be wearing the LFC t-shirts when we are all together in Toronto in about 10 days?
I would like to. It might be a little bit too, as they say on Project Runway, a little bit matchy-matchy for my taste. I might choose something else, but you never know.
All right, well, come on out and see us if you're in the Toronto area. We're going to be recapping not the triple eviction, but the one that comes after on Thursday, May 11th. You can get tickets at robhasawebsite.com/Toronto BB Can for that show. All right, so let's discuss Kevin's HOH night, where he ends up going seemingly back and forth, but ultimately deciding to put Ika and Demetrius on the block. And let's just sort of take a look at it. Brent, on the LFC roundtable last night or on Sunday afternoon, you were talking about how you did not like this idea for Kevin. You were very upset with Kevin. Now that you got to see a little bit more and the diary rooms, do you think that it was maybe not as bad as you thought for him?
No, it's worse. It actually is worse. I mean, there were things that I wasn't even sure had actually happened, that people had tweeted to me, that in between yesterday and today, from the round table until now, I went back and saw that Kevin did in fact say that, you know, nominating somebody like Jackie and Karen or Dre and Jackie, that would not be the move that the fans would understand. He wanted to make the sexy move, the move for TV. So having, you know, my opinion of Kevin is very high, Rob. It's very, very high. And for him to make a move that is essentially reducing him down to Cindy status, you know, to make a move for TV, I really lost a lot of respect for him here.
All right, Melissa, I have not heard your opinion on what Kevin was doing with his HOH. Did you like the decision to put DeMica on the block?
I wasn't the biggest fan of it, because on Thursday we had talked about how that would have been his best move would have been to not nominate them and work with them. So I kind of was hoping that that was the direction he was going to go. But then, you know, he had so many conversations with everyone in the house, and everybody in the house was pushing for him to nominate them. So I think that I could see where he's coming from, where he thinks that, you know, if he doesn't do it, everybody in the house is going to be pissed off at him, and he'd rather have just the two of them pissed off than everybody. So, I mean, I get where he's coming from, but I don't think he saw the big picture, which is that they're going to come after him next. It's not like they're all of a sudden all going to love him. They're, you know, fair weather friends, where he's the HOH, he has power. they're going to be his friend. But the second he's out of power, he's gone. So, you know, he should have been planning ahead.
I do feel like, though, he knew what he was doing here, because he even said at one point that he knows that this is a bad move, but is doing it because it's sexy TV. So, I mean, I can't support something like that. And now Taryn has argued that maybe he might eventually back his way into a good position, but that doesn't excuse the atrocious gameplay from my perspective.
Although he did have that conversation with himself, well, conversation, right. He did talk to himself in the pantry, and he kind of laid it all out with, like, I don't know, avocados or something, and Oreos or something, but he kind of laid out the situation where he played out each person winning HOH the next week if he put up Ike and Dimitri's, and he kind of was saying, okay, well, how about if Dylan wins HOH? How about if Karen wins HOH? And in every single scenario, you know, it wasn't good for him. So, you know, he wanted to try and make them like him more, I think. And I think that it just came down to, you know, he had to make a choice. And I could see where he would think that might be a safer move.
All right. I just want to also set up here at the top of the show, we're going to take your questions. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by to take your questions. Brent, how much of it ultimately do you feel like that Kevin said, I just need to win out here, and the biggest comp threat in the house is Dimitri's, and let me put him up on the block and see if I can get him out this week, and then maybe I can win out?
I don't really believe that that is the case, because Kevin didn't really make his target clear from the beginning, and he also seems to have been in support of Dimitri winning the veto. I mean, like, it seems like that him in making these nominations, he really wants Ika to go, which, again, I don't understand why he wants to become the last vet standing in the house. I think that's a terrible position to be in, you know, if you're worried that the newbies are going to unite and not want to take a vet to the finale, considering that all of his friends are in jury. I think that he decided that he wanted to make these nominations because that's the way his train had been going most of the night and through the next day. There were various times that they didn't show on the show, at least to my knowledge. By the way, my feed was skipping around a little bit, so there may have been things that I missed, but I didn't see the show where even when Ika, you know, totally went crazy at one point. By that point, Kevin had already told Ika and Dimitris that they were going up. I mean, Ika didn't just lo and behold decide to go act like a complete ass to the rest of the house. Kevin had, you know, laid out his options, looked at some things, and then said to, you know, DeMica, because he had told him, I'll tell you if I'm going to put you up. He said, I'm going to put you up. And then when he said that everyone threw you under the bus, that's when Ika went downstairs. So at this point, Ika, you know, it made it look like Ika was just a crazy person, when in reality, she had already been told, we're going on the block. And Dimitris knew that. And so I just want to make sure that the show painted her as a complete idiot, and I don't think she was a complete idiot.
No, I think
idiot.
I got that from the show. Okay. I thought right. that they were, like, where he was saying, like, hey, I know what you're doing. Stop doing that. But, Melissa, do you think that, I mean, why start doing that campaigning where, okay, I am going to go ahead and try to get myself voted out instead of my showman's partner before the nominations even come out?
I don't know. I mean, I think as much as Ika wants to pretend that she's not an emotional player, which she like tends to say all the time, she's totally an emotional player. And that's an emotional move. There's nothing behind it that's strategic. I mean, you can say all you want that it's strategic, but it's not strategic to just go around and, you know, go on a rampage around the house and get everyone pissed off at you. There's better ways to go about trying to keep Dimitri's in a better position.
Rob, when she said earlier in the show that she said, you know, it's great that Kevin won because he's a logical person. I'm not an emotional person. I'm a logical person too. I literally almost fell off my chair. Like, come on, girl, who are you talking to here? Having said that, I really do think that she made this move of trying to make everybody in the house mad at her, even before nominations came out, even before the veto gets played out, because she's butthurt here. I mean, she's mad that everyone's turned their back on her, and she also is losing what I called yesterday on the roundtable a sense of self-preservation. She's caring about other people. She's like William, who cares about Kevin. She cares about Dimitri's game. She doesn't want to mess up his game because of her. And I feel like that both of them would benefit from Ika being a little bit more self-interested.
Yeah, you said that she feels responsible for Dimitri. She doesn't want to go out before he does or be the person responsible for him losing the game.
Yeah, and I don't think that, I guess can we talk about that they didn't show it on the show, but there were conversations that Kevin had with Ike and Dimitris before nominations that I feel like we should cover.
I'll allow it.
Okay. All right. Well, just to be clear with everybody what happened here, that right before nominations, this is actually when I was driving to work. And of course, everyone's texting me out of the blue saying, you've got to watch the feeds right now. And I'm like, bitch, I'm in the car. Please give me a break. So Kevin decides that he is not going to put up DeMica. He thinks that this is a terrible move for him. He doesn't want to do it. He understands. And basically, all of the logical Kevin that was there the night before, because the night before, Kevin agreed with us. He was like, I don't want to put up Demetrius and Ica because I'm sure it's just doing what the five fat cats in the middle want me to do, and then the next week they will turn on me. But Ica, because she's not self-interested, Kevin went to her and said, you know, I'm feeling bad about this. And she was like, honey, don't worry. I understand. You know, we put you guys up last week. I get it. I mean, basically she was falling on her sword. And if she would not have fallen on her sword, I think there was a real chance that Kevin does not put them up. Instead, as Taryn points out, she gave Kevin exactly what he wanted to hear, which was, if you put us on the block and I go home, I'm going to make sure Demetrius works with you. Well, that doesn't give Kevin any incentive to not put you on the block then.
I think that's something you say later. I don't think that's something you say before nominations, because there was still a sliver of a chance, no matter how small or how big or whatever, that he might have kept them off the block. And instead, she essentially gave her blessing to Demetrius to work with Kevin afterwards and to not hold a grudge. And that's not, I mean, that's what Kevin wants to hear, but that's not good to save yourself.
By the way, Rob, you asked earlier about, you know, did Kevin make this move because he wants to get Demetri out of the house and he's worried about him? He wants to comp out, basically. But I reject that, because the whole point in putting up these nominees was to get Ica out of the house and pull Demetri closer to himself. So I don't think that that was anywhere in his thinking. I mean, if it ended up happening and he, you know, put Demetri's up and maybe Demetrius doesn't win the veto, then maybe if the house decides to get rid of him, then you know, whatever. But, you know, when Kevin decided to make these nominees, his goal was getting Ica out of the house.
I'd love to know, Melissa, William was barely seen on the TV show tonight. Was William a big factor in anything that was going on while these nominations were being made? Because it's an interesting dynamic in the house. When William has power, it seems like the Kevin and William showmance is on. But when Kevin is in a good spot, it's like William's nowhere to be seen.
There was still showmancing going on, but there wasn't necessarily much strategy talk. It was more Kevin would kind of talk with William, but he kind of didn't really care what William wanted to do or not do. And William didn't really have a strong opinion either. So it was kind of just like Kevin was going to do what he was going to do, and he just like William was just there and they would have fun together. But they really didn't. William was not a part of, you know, the nominations and you know, anything further.
Rob, he was a fat cat just sitting up in the HOH room living it up. I mean, he knew he was safe. Kevin's not going to put him up. He's, you know, so like this week is just gravy for him. He didn't give a damn who goes on the block. There were various times where Kevin used him as a sounding board. And I think that, you know, obviously William is also not self-interested. He's really worried about Kevin and people going after Kevin. And so it's become a theme of this season where people are not self-interested. You saw that with Dylan and Emily a little bit earlier. I think that he would do well to be more self-interested because he could have had more of a hand in these nominees. But I feel like that ultimately Kevin did what William preferred, which was to go after Demetrius and Ica, because William was worried about Demetrius and Ica putting Kevin on the block with William.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Dre, because I think that she is probably the most intriguing player from the newbies, and I don't mean to damn with faint praise, but I actually think she's done a very good job, and it does seem as though she's starting to get a little bit exposed after being so close to Ica for so many weeks, and this was the first night we got to see where Ica was really publicly calling out Dre for everybody throwing her under the bus. Melissa, have you been as impressed with Dre?
I've been pretty impressed with Dre, but I kind of go back and forth with her because sometimes she will seem so knowledgeable and so aware and so perfectly on point with what's going on in the game and what she needs to do. And then all of a sudden she'll say something that's so ridiculous. Like she'll say something like, oh, I don't want to lie. I don't want to go against my friends or whatever. And I'm like, you just were saying you were going to get them out, and now you're saying you don't want to go against your friends. She goes back and forth with whether she's going to be a big player and she's going to play the game and not care about anything, or if she's going to, you know, be loyal and be constantly like, you know, with her friends. So I don't know. Sometimes she says stuff that's just killing me. Like a while back when she had the conversation where, you know, everyone was explaining to her exactly what was going on in the house. And she was like, well, you know, I don't really see it like that. I don't really see the game the way you guys are seeing it. And I'm like, what do you mean you're not seeing it the way everybody else is seeing it? That's the way it is. Like, it's not whether you see it or not. So I don't know. Sometimes I'm very impressed with her and sometimes I just want to shake her.
You've been anti-Dre.
Well, I mean, I haven't been anti-Dre. I don't think her game is very aesthetically pleasing. She's a little bit of a rat, and she is not quite as big of a rat as Jackie is, but I still think of her like a rat because, you know, my favorites are Ike and Demetrius and Kevin to a certain extent, and she's been actively working to get all of these people out of the house while still maintaining some semblance of a friendship with them or saying, hey, I got your back, when she really doesn't. I mean, you saw how she was acting with Ike tonight. I agree with Melissa about to a certain extent that I alternately get mad and admire Dre's game at the same time, because she does struggle, and I think it's a sign of a really new player where she does struggle with, you know, trying to become the person that she could be, become the player that she could be. And oftentimes she goes back to the girl I saw in the previews, which was, you know, the girl who would rather lose the game than and be loved by Canada. And that was why I couldn't stand her, because I'm like, I hate people like this. But she so surprised me with her willingness to game this season. I do think she's a little bit like a five-year-old child, though. Like, ultimately, she's going to make the right move for her game, but she's going to go kicking and screaming to get there. Like, she'll bitch and moan to everybody that, you know, I want to be a loyal person. I don't want to go against my friends. But I haven't seen any evidence so far that her actual actions would be against her own benefit in the game. I mean, she might complain to everybody about it, but ultimately she does what she needs to put herself in a good position.
I did like her tonight when she was having to explain why she ended up going down after Kevin put the deal out there, why she couldn't win. Ika wanted her to work on Kevin for her, and she said this.
Ika wants me to go to work for her, and I'm thinking, hell nah.
Well, you saw on the, even, you know, even though Kevin said to Dre that, you know, she's totally safe and he gave his word, he still had her on the short list. So Dre's radar is going off a little bit there. Like, I need to make sure that I'm totally safe regardless of what Kevin said, and I don't really give a damn about Demaika.
Now, again, the other important thing that we need to keep in perspective that we know that the house guests don't is that the triple eviction looms on Thursday. Brent, could you reset how the triple eviction works?
The triple eviction is played just like any other normal HOH competition at the start of a double eviction. Arisa did not tell the people the last time around that it was going to be a triple eviction before the competition plays out. So it's just like a double eviction. You know, let's have an HOH competition. We need a new HOH, okay? Everybody plays except the outgoing HOH, which, by the way, in Big Brother Canada 3, the last time they had a triple eviction, the outgoing HOH was, wait for it, Kevin. So this time, the outgoing HOH again is going to be Kevin. So he's in exactly the same situation he was before, maybe a few less people in the house. Once we get an HOH, then Arisa will tell the house guests that this is not a double eviction, that this is actually a triple eviction. Please have a camera on Kevin Martin's face when they tell him that this is a triple eviction. The HOH then makes their three nominees. And then at that point, there are seven people left in the house. The wrinkle, if you can call it that, of the triple eviction is that even though there are three people on the block, the HOH does not play in the veto. So all three nominees play, the other three people in the house play. So everybody plays for HOH except for the person who won HOH. Everyone plays for veto except the person who was the HOH. And then after the results of the veto and the veto ceremony, every house guest who is not on the block gets a vote to save. And that's all there is.
Okay. So Kevin's got to win the veto on Thursday is basically what it comes down to.
What I've been saying is that little wrinkle that they put in there, I mean, I'm hoping that it's still there. In fact, I'm sure it is, because it just seems logical that there'll be six people left if they don't count the HOH. If Demetrius is able to survive and makes it all the way till Thursday, and he's able to win HOH, and Kevin Martin, who we know will be there Thursday, it doesn't have to compete against Demetrius, and Kevin can win the veto without having to compete against him, then we'll be good, Rob. Then we'll be an easy street.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if Dimitri's won NHOH, if he stayed and he won the HOH, that do you think that he would keep Kevin? I guess we'll get into all that when we get into the
spoilers. It's tough to say.
There's
a lot of stuff that needs to happen this week, I feel like, that can change Kevin's mind.
Okay, so more on that to come as we go along through it. Let's touch on a couple other things from the episode. Then we have a lot of stuff to get into from the live feeds. Karen and Kevin are in an alliance. It's official. Last week, we went on and on and on about Karen. That was the day that she blew up at Kevin. And we talked so much about Kevin Martin, you little puke. And we talked about, wow, boy, wouldn't that be so funny if Karen and Kevin got... And there were people in the chat room say, like, oh my, we're still talking about a Kevin and Karen final two. It's not going to happen. This is ridiculous. But Melissa, look where we are now.
Who would have thunk it? It's crazy.
Yes.
I enjoy them working together. I know some people, you know, like it better when they're at odds, but you know, I like it when they can come together like
this. I know
this.
One person on this panel who enjoys them better when they are at odds.
Who, me?
Yes.
Yes. I love antagonistic Karen. I mean, if Karen loses that she hates Kevin, what does she have?
I liked it that she at least gave her true feelings in the diary room. And Rob, this is what I've had the biggest problem with from the beginning, is that ultimately Kevin has decided to throw his lot in with Karen and Dylan as people that he's going to work with, the people who are going to fight for him. The people are his shields in the house, and they all know that a double eviction's coming. They don't know that it's a triple, but they at least know that it's a double, and things move fast in a double, as you saw with Cindy. So that's why I've been poo-pooing this move from the beginning, because, you know, say what you want about Damica, and maybe you need to split them up at some point. Maybe you need to get Demetrius out of the house. Maybe Ika is too much to handle. I get all of that. But you're putting your lot in with a guy who is still mad at you about not using the veto on him when his girlfriend went out of the house, and another lady who's been hating you for 48 days. And that didn't just go away just because, and you saw him reference this at the beginning of the episode, Bruno, who I think did more to harm Kevin's game than help it, Bruno having a few conversations with people and making sure he, quote unquote, set up Kevin well going down the stretch. I really feel like Kevin made a few bad calls here because of some of the asinine stuff that Bruno did when he was still in the house.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Brew. Melissa, do you think that Bruno wanted to set up revenge against Damica? Is that why he sort of laid the groundwork with Dylan and Karen for Kevin?
I don't think he was trying to get revenge. I think that he was just trying to set Kevin up in the best position for if Kevin did not win HOH. So I think he was trying to make it so that whoever won HOH would not target Kevin first. And so I think that Kevin may have misinterpreted that and thought, oh, he wants me to work with Karen and Dylan. But instead, you know, that really wasn't what he wanted. He just wanted to make sure Kevin could get through one more week, like, without Bruno there.
Okay. Brent, you buy that?
Yes, she's totally right. That's exactly what happened. I mean, again, Bruno did all this stuff for if Kevin didn't win HOH, he was trying to smooth the path for him, that, you know, he wanted to save his boy, make sure that Kevin was good with everybody. If Kevin becomes HOH, who the hell cares what any of these other people think? Kevin can do what he wants at that point. Kevin needs to make the best move for his game. I'm so frustrated because Bruno wasn't clear with what his intentions were when he was trying to smooth the path for Kevin. And Kevin, who is, I'm sorry, not the best player. He's really not a good player.
Alex Kildwell told me.
I had someone talk to me earlier tonight on Twitter who said, you know, I really loved Kevin. I thought he was really sexy and really cool back in Big Brother Canada 3. But after watching him this season, I don't see it at all. Like,
was
I mean,
it Karen?
Please. I mean, just the fact that
I loved Kevin Martin back in Big Brother Canada 3.
I know.
But
she loves to tell us
I've
that.
I've seen him, and he's arrogant. And he makes dumb moves.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand. I just don't understand what he was doing. I think he just misinterpreted what Bruno was trying to do for him. And once you have all the power, you have to make the move that's best for your game. And it seemed like Kevin knew what the right move was for his game. He realizes what's happening. Basically, this is playing out similar to Big Brother 13, where, you know, Donato goes after Jeff, and then Jeff goes after her, and it's a big war. And all the people in the middle, like Adam Pock and Shelley, they're just sitting there happy as clams because they know that this war is continuing between the two sides and they don't have to worry about anything. He should have used this HOH to try to change the storyboard for how the season was going to play out, and he didn't do that.
Well, what's interesting is that when he was in the pantry, I remember thinking to myself, wow, he totally knows his position in this game right now. He totally gets it. Because the way he was describing everything, the way he was saying this person's this person's with that person, I was like, wow, he totally gets it. But I just don't think he knows how to act on that. I don't think he knows what the next move is. Like, once he's figured out the alignment, he doesn't know what his next step should be.
Yeah, I could see that. I also wonder with Kevin that he definitely understands the sort of like where all the pieces are on the game board. But what I've noticed is, the same flaw that we sort of identified in Netta this season is that he seems to have a lack of a social game. And I don't mean necessarily in that he's like not necessarily like somebody who is mean to other people in the house or cranky with other people, but he doesn't seem to have the ability to sway people and win them over with an argument that isn't based on the numbers, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, he's done some things that I've watched throughout the season and even in parts of this week where he was just way too honest with people. I mean, you saw him last week before the secret veto was used on him, and I don't know if we gave him enough flack for this, but Taryn was incredulous because this was happening right when the roundtable was happening and Taryn was watching the feeds. He said, we saw that Kevin told William, well, if you're going to keep me, it's okay. You don't need to use the veto on me. Of course, he's speaking about the regular veto, not the secret veto. And Kevin didn't know about a secret veto at that point. He was totally fine sitting up there with him and Bruno on the block. Told William, don't, if it's bad for your game, it's going to mess you up, don't use the veto. And I was like, where is the gamer that I know? Where's the guy who needs to make sure he gets off the block to save himself and his buddy Bruno? And I felt like he really backed into a good deal there where he was saying, don't use the veto on me, and William didn't, but then he went and used the secret veto on him anyway.
Yeah.
I was trying to give him credit because I was trying to read between the lines, like maybe he's using some reverse psychology with William, like please don't use the veto on me, and then William does because William's so smitten with him, but it was still a bad play.
I will also modify that what I said about his lack of a social game in a certain aspect, because the one card he does seem to be able to play is the ability to use his sexuality to have some sort of an influence on William. But outside of William, I don't really see him having that great of an influence on anybody, Melissa.
Oh, I agree with that. I think that In both seasons, he's used his sexuality to get further in the game. I think that that's where he builds his bonds with people. And if he doesn't have that, he kind of struggles.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that other than that, he struggles with, just creating any sort of camaraderie or connection with anybody. And it's weird because he doesn't seem... I don't know, from an outsider watching the show, he seems fine. He doesn't seem like he, struggles with communicating or, he's, dead in the eyes or anything like that. He just, is normal. I don't see why he can't build connections with people. And even when he's being completely honest with people, a lot of people leave the room and they're like, I don't trust him for a second. He's lying to me. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Someone texted me earlier and said that, not only weren't they as impressed with Kevin, but they really feel like he's done a bad job to a point where he made these nominations because he thought he was going to better his position by, throwing his lot in with Karen and Dylan. But the problem that people like Taryn, who supported, at least in some ways, these nominations, is that Kevin doesn't have anybody but William. And that's his real problem in the game. Like, he thinks he can get all these other people. Girl, no. All he has is William. And I think he's sort of starting to realize that.
Okay. I want to get to the live feeds, but I also want to just touch on Aika and the scenes that she had before the nominations, specifically with Jackie and Dre when she went into the room. Melissa, that Aika really, to me, is one of the top characters on television. Maybe in the history of television.
She's very fun to watch, that's for sure. I never feel bored when she's on, you know, on the feeds. And she's really funny. I think she's very funny. And then she is also, she could be very aggressive. I feel very intimidated by her, just watching her. And, you know, she chooses very interesting ways to say it to people. Like, you know, her whole, I'm just coming in to see my friends comment. It's like, I don't know where she gets this stuff.
Yeah,
she's adopted like this real life Queen Cersei character that she is playing to a T at times.
Yeah, both her and Sandra both this season on reality TV. I feel like they've been a little bit too much I'm the queen and letting that whole queen thing get out there. You even heard Kevin mention it in his nominee speech that every queen deserves a throne, and that's why she was sitting there. The whole time I was watching this, and it was good to go back and watch it through this episode because I saw it on the feeds originally. That it reminded me how much I love Aika and how messy of a player she is, but also how much, and this is the reason why people hate Jackie, okay? This is why we hate Jackie, Rob, and why the house hates Jackie. Because last week, Jackie was up DeMica's ass, you know, I'm your new best friend, I'm in with you guys, I totally love you, thank you for keeping your word, thank you for not putting me on the block. And by the way, that decision by Demetrius to put Karen up instead of Jackie basically ruined Demetrius and Aika's game with Karen. I mean, Karen continually goes on about how bad of a move that was. But does Jackie care about that? No. Does she even pretend to care about that? No. She just says to Aika, well, I told Kevin that you were really evil and manipulative, and I didn't really like that. And Aika rightly is like, well, you didn't think that last week. I mean, it's such a bad look. And I don't blame her for playing the game, okay? That's fine, play the game. It's just she does it in such a ratty way that it's even less fun to watch the first time than when Andy did it back in Big Brother 15.
Yeah, I've seen you guys talking about and a little bit on the message boards that could Jackie win the game? Listen, it doesn't seem like that even if she got to the final two, that anybody respects the game that she's playing, right?
I mean, go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
I can't imagine her winning in any scenario with the people who are left. No matter who goes to the end with her, I think that whoever she's up against is going to win.
Well,
so she's a perfect person to drag along.
Right. If she's up against a vet, she's going to lose. If Aika or Kevin are against her in the final two, you know, they're going to win. That means if they're not there, then that means they're on the jury, which means you're going to have five vets on the jury. I don't see any one of them voting for Jackie. I mean, really. I mean, unless she wins two or three comps, but it's going to take a lot for her to win over these people, because you heard Kevin in the episode say that, you know, out of everybody left, and that includes Karen. Kevin is saying, I respect Jackie's game the least.
Although, in a way, she did set this whole train wreck in motion by winning the veto during the double eviction.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I think it's so sad because I don't know if you guys saw the alliance chart that's been going around Twitter today or yesterday. And they kind of chart out all the different alliances that are going on right now. And they've been doing it since the beginning of the season. And they do this for every season. But right now, like, we're near the end of the game. And right now, still, Jackie is there by herself in her little square. And it says, alone. Like, she's not with anybody. She doesn't have an alliance with anybody. And I mean, I totally see why, because she just goes from person to person sharing information, even just little tidbits of information. She can't seem to keep it to herself. And, you know, and I was looking at it today and I was thinking to myself, like, oh my God, is that me? Would that be me on Big Brother? Just not being able to keep my mouth shut, just going around to every single person, just giving up every information, not intentionally necessarily, but just because you can't keep your mouth shut.
She does it in a really obvious way, though, in a way that's almost thumbing her nose at her former allies. Like, the same thing happened with Bruno and Kevin the previous week when, you know, they had all they had was a conversation with the HOH that didn't include her. And when she saw that, she went off on them and totally sold them out to the HOH, who then went and told Bruno and Kevin, this is what you did. So that's why she has no subtlety to her game. It's all just bombast and conniving and floating. It's just terrible to watch.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start to get towards the live feeds and the spoilers so we can talk through a bunch of this. If you are watching us live, you don't have to do anything. Of course, if you're listening to the podcast or watching the YouTube video, stay tuned for after this short break. We'll be right back.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. We got complaints last week.
I love that part.
We got complaints we didn't do enough dancing last week. The buzzer was out of reach. I couldn't get to it.
It's so good. I always wait for the spoilers song to play.
Dominic plays with the buzzer, though. So, yeah.
Not this one. I don't let him near this fancy one for the podcast. It's a backup one. All right. And again, credit to the great Ryan Elder for writing the spoiler song for our Big Brother podcast.
It's so good.
Yes. Right.
Melissa, could you set up the veto competition and how that played out?
Well, the veto competition is one that they've been talking about for a while, which is the Toyota veto comp. They've been trying to memorize all the different features of the Toyota car that's up for the prize. And I don't know exactly
the features of the Toyota.
Yeah. I mean, they've said it enough with Cindy going to the jury house. That was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's like, wow, it's crazy to be in this car right now. What a smooth ride.
Yes.
It's like, I don't think that's what you're thinking about right now. but anyway, smooth so yeah, ass. They had smooth with an S. She should have used that. Essentially, it seemed like there were multiple components to this, with part of it being a puzzle, part of it being, you know, memorization. I don't know exactly the specifics, but you would win a test drive with a special guest, which that special guest
is
a jury member. Yeah, no, a jury member.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, and of course, the winner of the veto competition is
Dimitris.
Okay. All right. So the wheels are in motion, and we're not talking about the Chevy 86,
Toyota.
Yeah. All right. So here we go, Brent. We're off to the races.
Yes. I almost blew it at the beginning because you're like, you know, introducing Brent Wagamon. I'm like, Rob, I'm doing great this week. And I'm like, oh, wait, we're not there yet. So,
not there yet. Okay. So, all right. So, with Micah or with Dimitris with the veto, we need a replacement nominee who will go on to be Jackie, right?
Yes. Okay, it will be Jackie because, you know, obviously her and Kevin had a bit of a falling out. And also something happened on the day after the veto. It was revealed the day after the veto, but it happened on the day of the veto competition where Jackie told Dimitris that he was the target. And of course, Kevin had never announced a target from the beginning of his HOH reign and when he put up his initial nominees. So Kevin was none too pleased to hear that Jackie had told Dimitris basically, you better win this or you're out. And she tried to defuse it by saying, I was just trying to give him a little bit of motivation. But Kevin rightly told her, look, I mean, that does a great deal of harm to my game. I wanted Ika to go, keep Dimitris and bring him closer to me, just like Ika told me would happen. Because Ika said, if I go, I want Dimitris to work with Kevin, which is exactly what Kevin wants. And now you're telling Dimitris that I wanted him out, that he was my target. So that's why Jackie ultimately went on the block.
Now, Brent, yesterday it looked bad for Ika when you guys did the show. What has changed in that time?
Gosh, what has changed? I kept trying to find
so much.
I wanted to find the initial thread that really started this whole thing. And maybe Melissa might disagree with me here, but from my perspective, this all started when Ika had a conversation with Dre, and she tried to make up with Dre and said, you know, I want you to know a couple things. I want you to know that I would never have gone against you in this game, that you're my homegirl, that as you even heard from Kevin, the reason that the initial alliance of six distrusted me was because they thought I was closer to you than them. And they were right. And by the way, I will also take you to the final two. You're my actual number two, my ride or die here, because I will not take Demetrius to the final two because I know I will lose against him. And by the way, my homegirls at home will also throw shade at me and never let me live it down if I have a chance to take another girl of color to the final two and I don't do it. She said, I'm in with you. And by the way, just to remind you, Dre, Godfrey did not win when he made it to the final two. Gary didn't win when he made it to the final two. Basically intimating that in order, and I don't believe this, but in order to win, that two people of color need to get to the end. And so she told Dre this.
Oh, wait, okay? This is the new that a woman never beats a man in the final two?
Well, I'm not even sure that Aika believes this, but she was trying. She needs Dre's vote
and,
here.
And again, that not to poo-poo this, but the reason Gary didn't win was because another person of color put the wrong key in the box. That,
yes,
you know.
I agree, but Aika's using every arsenal in her toolbox, and
Aika.
I applaud her.
Good on Aika.
Yes, exactly. And it has worked because Dre, there were a couple of different moving parts that were going on here, but I'm going to follow this through line for just a second. So then Dre has a conversation with Dylan where she's not feeling great about voting against Aika. She just wants to let everybody know, as she's told Kevin earlier in the week, I'm not going to vote to evict Aika. I don't care if it's 3-2 and I'm on the losing end of the 3-2. I can't do it. I'm not going to vote to evict Aika. Dylan also starts talking about the fact, and Dylan and Dre have gotten very close, about the fact that Jackie has really let it be known, and she should have kept this under her hat, that she knows her days and her events and her numbers all back and forth and sideways. So he's really nervous about that because nobody knows them as good as Jackie. She really has been studying her butt off. And then once that's known, then Karen decides that, well, and Karen's still vacillating. And in fact, I just want to say again, this is Monday, so this can change 1,000 times. But Karen doesn't want to be on the bad end of a 3-2 vote. She also doesn't want to be on the front end of a 3-2 vote because she's thinking that, okay, if it's 3-2 and we vote to evict Aika and Aika goes home, Demetrius is most likely to win HOH. And he's going to be mad at us, and he's going to take it out on us. She wants to make sure that if Aika does go home, that Dre votes to evict Aika, but Dre won't do it. So there's all these moving parts, not to mention what Melissa will tell you about what Aika and Demetrius and Kevin talked about earlier.
Okay,
today.
Melissa, go for it.
Well, I just want to say, yeah, back to what Brent was saying, you know, it was interesting because at the beginning of, you know, more near the beginning, I guess. I don't know when in time anything is anymore, but more in the beginning, the Odyssey, it's crazy. It even affects us on the outside. Dre and Dylan were getting really close. Presumably, maybe it's because of that kiss. Who knows? Maybe a new showman is blossoming. No, I don't think so, but Dylan hopes so. At one point, they were talking strategy, and Dre's just like, man, I love this game. And Dylan's like, yeah, me too. Maybe we should kiss. And she's like, no, I'm okay. Thank you, though. But yeah, so they've been getting very close, and they decided that, you know, they were going to get Aika out without telling her. They were saying, we're going to get her out. We're not going to tell her. We're just going to tell her the whole week that she's safe and then blindside her at the end. And that was pretty much where we were. And, you know, then Aika talks to Dre and essentially tells her, you know, I love you so much. I felt really betrayed by you, blah, blah, blah. And Dre kind of felt bad. She kind of changed her mind. She thought about it and said, you know, I can't betray Aika. I can't do it. I can't do it. Which was kind of frustrating because this whole time she's talking about the turn up and now all of a sudden it's time to potentially turn up and she won't do it. So she goes back to Dylan, tells Dylan that she doesn't want to go back from this game saying that she backstabbed and she lied. And it's like, oh my God. And actually, Dylan was making a lot of sense in this conversation. He kept saying, like, what are you talking about? This is Big Brother. You have to do it.
Yeah, just yesterday, you were saying you want to get Aika out. Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. And then Dre said, you know, I just would feel like this would be a better move. I would feel less bad if we did it later. And he's like, that doesn't even make any sense. We need to do it now. Why not take the shot? Which was great that, you know, Dylan was actually, you know, making a lot of sense in this conversation. And so then, you know, it sounded like Dre was just not going to do it. Dre's not going to vote it. And then Dylan goes to talk to Karen And Karen and Dylan, you know, what Brent said, they were like, you know, we cannot be on the minority of this vote. We cannot
or
have it be
majority.
A 3-2 vote.
Yeah,
or I guess the small majority.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be like a major majority.
Right. They
can't have a 3-2.
That's
got to be a 4-1 or else, you know, they can't do it because then they're the next targets. That automatically makes
them
the target.
That's how much they fear Demetrius winning an HOH Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, he's been winning all these competitions. I would absolutely be scared of him. And so that kind of, it's kind of flipped. Everything's been thrown on its head ever since. All Aika had to do really was just tell Dre that she loved her and apologize to her and, you know, play up any sort of friendship cards that she has. And Dre is just right back on board.
Okay,
go ahead.
Questions. So where does William figure into all this? He just goes wherever Dre goes?
No.
He goes wherever Kevin goes.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So essentially, he's not being told really anything, or we're not seeing it. I didn't really see much of him on the feeds at all.
I was going to say, out of everybody who in this conversation, the five people who are voting, and reminder that Kevin is not voting because he's the HOH, William is the person who is least involved in this and is going to be the last person probably to be told that maybe the vote has flipped, maybe not. So at this point, Aika's aware that Dre's going to vote to keep her, and they decide to go to Kevin. And I thought this was a bad play. But maybe it's not. But because they decide to go to Kevin in the have-not room, Aika, Demetrius, Kevin decide to have a conversation. Thinking, you know, can Kevin get William to flip his vote? Because, you know, let's force him up, and we're going to take this thing. Kevin is liking more and more the idea of keeping Aika and Demetrius both in the house because he's aware of the fact that everybody else is turning on him. Aika's told him that she's playing a very dangerous game here because she's throwing other people under the bus. She's told him that Dre wants him out, that Dre is going to nominate him, that Dylan wants him out, that Dylan's going to nominate him. So Kevin realizes that all the things that he's done this past week to try to shore up his position, none of it has worked. He might as well throw his lot in here with DeMica and see if it changes. And they decide to make an alliance of three people that were originally part of the six called the business partners. And the business partners have a really unique tack to them because Kevin's like, you know, it's okay. You can tell people that you're going to nominate me. You just do whatever you need to do to stay in the house. And we know we trust each other because us three are the only people that deserve to win the game. And they're standing by that. Aika, Demetrius, and Kevin all believe that, you know, us three have to win the game or this is going to be a terrible ending to a great season. And so it's okay for DeMica to go out and tell people that we're going to nominate Kevin. Aika didn't really love that idea because she doesn't want it to get back to William because she knows how protective William is. Again, it would help if William was a little bit more self-interested here, but he's not. He's worried about Kevin, so they can't really do that play if it's involving William. And I think ultimately Kevin's going to try to get William to flip. They may not even need his vote, but if Dre and Kevin both support William flipping, then William will flip, and that's where we're at right now.
Okay.
Well, we also have like another little wrench that got thrown in the plan, which is that
Karen.
Dylan, Dylan saw Kevin and Aika high five in the bathroom.
Yes.
And then he went to Dre and said, I think they're playing us or else they made a deal together. I don't know what happened, but I think that Dre, Demetrius and Kevin have a deal together. And so Dre was confused. She's like, well, if they have a deal together, who else is there to get out? I don't understand because we already have a deal with them. So what's going on? And then Dre essentially said that if Aika comes to Dre before Thursday night and tells Dre that she made the deal with Kevin, then Dre will know that Aika is not playing her and that Aika is in fact on her side. But if Aika does not come to Dre to tell Dre about the deal with Kevin, then Dre will know that Aika has been playing her.
Right. And it's
if that
so,
makes sense.
It's so weird, though, because Dre also in this conversation said, you know, she tried to defuse it with Dylan and say, well, you know, look, everybody makes deals with everybody. They made a deal with Kevin and Bruno before and they put them on the block. You know, Kevin made a deal with Aika and Demetrius before the HOH competition that they wouldn't go after each other, and then he put them on the block. So deals don't mean anything. And by the way, Karen was also aware of the fact that, you know, maybe this is a really good idea for Kevin, that Kevin is the one who's setting himself up good here by keeping Aika. Fortunately, no
that
one's really listening
Kevin
to Karen,
Martin.
Right? I know, right? Nobody's really listening to Karen at this point, but she is speaking the truth
of
what's going on.
Nobody ever listens.
Exactly. Nobody ever listens to me. Yes.
And we also have another little thing that just sort of recently occurred, which is that Jackie told Will that she would nominate Demetrius and Kevin.
Yes.
So essentially, she told Will that she would nominate Kevin.
His
so
number one
basically
ally.
William, yeah, William's number one ally. So William, I don't think William will want to keep Jackie around after he hears that, especially because, just like we've been saying, he's not really self-interested. He's interested in protecting Kevin. Mm. So that was not good on Jackie's part. Yeah.
Okay, so a lot to digest there. let's just talk about Aika specifically. Brent, I'm really, that this whole season, I've been so impressed with Aika as the player. And yes, she runs hot, and yes, she does moves that really have no strategic benefit, like we talk about where she's going to just go be mean to Jackie for no reason. But this ability to pull herself to go to Dre and appeal to whatever side of her that's friendship, that seems genuine, that seems authentic. This is such a powerful weapon for her.
It really is. And people have noticed this, that she has an ability to do this. I will add that she's also the one who puts herself in these holes at different times with people. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't have to pull herself out and do magic work if she wasn't the one who made the mess. She was like Tony in that respect, where she just, you know, makes all the messes.
She is like Tony.
Yeah, she has to clean them up a little bit. I know in Tony's case, maybe Trish cleaned them up a little bit. But besides that, it is really interesting. I was glad to see, like I said, I don't know that Aika even really believes this thing. When she, I was listening to her talk, and then when she said, people would never let me live it down if I had a chance to take you to the final two and make it an all black girls final two, and I didn't do it. And I was like, okay, I like this. And then when she threw in Gary and Godfrey, I was like, oh my God. Like it was a little bit deep for me. Like, I was like, I can't believe she's actually going
now,
there
hold
with
on
this
a
conversation.
Second. If the final what? Three is Demetrius, Aika, and Dre, you're telling me that Aika is not going to take Demetrius to the end?
She's saying that she's not going to take
Demetrius
to the end.
She's going to pull a John Party here?
And Dre is believing that for right now. Hmm. She thinks that Aika's her girl. She's like, Aika's always been my girl. She's never done anything against me. And she's right. I can't, up until this week, Aika's always had Dre in her mind of somebody she always wanted to protect. It was always Dre and Aika and Demetrius in Aika's mind, which of course is great for Aika because she's in the middle of that threesome. So yeah, I do believe that Dre believes this. Now, whether or not that would actually happen or not, I am unsure about that, whether or not, because I think, though, here's the thing. If, like, let's assume that, like, it's my wet dream and it's Demetrius and Aika and Dre at the end. I mean, seriously, I think that Aika probably would cut Demetrius here because she knows that he's such a cool, nice, easygoing guy.
Yeah, he'll be like, okay.
Exactly. He would vote for her and be happy to do it. Like, he would totally get it. Like, it would not be like if he cut Aika, but if I could cut him, he would be like, yeah,
oh, she'd strangle him.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I believe she actually would, but I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. Now, what about from the Dre perspective, Melissa, what's actually best for her game, to see Aika go out on Thursday?
I think at this point, it's best for Dre to have Aika go, I think, because I don't think Aika is telling her the truth. I see Aika going back to Demetrius, and I see her talking about wanting to get Dre out next, or, you know, going against Dre, or saying that the stuff that she's saying about Dre isn't true. And I know that Demetrius doesn't trust Dre anymore. He told Aika that now he knows that Dre is not out for the three of them. She's out for Aika's best interest. So Aika and Dre, she wants Aika and Dre together. She wants to keep Aika to herself. So I know that Demetrius wouldn't like her, and I just don't see it being a good thing for Dre to keep Aika in the house at this point.
I will say that, Dre, the other thing is that Demetrius and Aika have taken a page out of my book when I took a page out of their book when I said this, was that they need to basically say that, you know, whoever votes to keep us will be loyal to them. And Dre really believes that. In fact, I believe that. I do believe that if Dre and, you know, some other combination of, you know, Dylan votes to keep Ika, that she and Demetrius will be loyal to the people who stood by them and, you know, vote out the people and nominate the people who were against them. So that's also reared its head in this conversation.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good on their word. I mean, maybe I'm just being totally blindsided by them, but I think they are, because I heard Demetrius talking on the feed saying that, you know, he would want to put Jackie up next week. If Ika goes, he would want to put Jackie up next week on the block, but he can't because he made a deal with her, so he would have to put up Karen. And he's saying, oh, it's too bad that I have to put up Karen, but I made a deal with Jackie.
Right.
So, you know, I see them sticking to their word.
I
see
too.
It happening.
I do, too.
Okay.
So I disagree with Melissa. I believe that it's more beneficial for Dre to keep Ika in the house. I mean, why wouldn't you want to keep somebody in the house that is a ride or die? I mean, who's never going to go against you. And she's a massive target in front of Dre that will always go before Dre. So considering that, you know, I know maybe... I here's the thing. I feel like that Ika and Demetrius together will be loyal to Dre. I feel like Demetrius by himself will bro down with Kevin and Dylan. I don't believe that he would be with Dre. In fact, I think they would tear their relationship apart. So I think that it's best for now for Dre to get Jackie out of the house, because Jackie's also taking up a spot that Dre would like to occupy, which is the spot that where everybody is looking at the two of you on the block and they decide to evict the other person. Like, you want to be that person. You want to be the Spencer, the person that's always on the block. I mean, you don't want to be in the block, but if you are on the block, you want people to look at you like, I don't want to evict you. I want to evict this person over here. So right now, Jackie could be that person, and Dre wants it to be her.
Man, how great would it be if Jackie just went home on Thursday?
Oh, it'd be so good.
I mean, Melissa, can you defend her? Is she bringing anything to the table here, Jackie?
And then, Dimitri,
well, go. She is part of my draft, so, you know.
Yes. I mean, but Rob, seriously, if Jackie can go home in the first part, So if Jackie can go home in the first part of Thursday, and then a triple, Dimitri's wins HOH, he doesn't even put up Kevin, but let's say he does and Kevin wins the veto, we could get out all of the crap, all of the floaters, all of the red shirts.
Well, who would you say? Karen and Dylan go out and...
It depends on who ultimately votes to keep them. Yeah, maybe William. Of course, no, Ika and Demetrius told Kevin...
William doesn't do a lot for me either.
Well, I agree, but Ika and Demetrius told Kevin that we won't go after William because, you know, we have a ride or die with each other.
Like, somebody's got to go.
I know. I definitely feel like Karen is one of the people that would definitely go. I feel like Dylan, because they were saying how Dylan is such a rat, that he was worse than Jackie. So Dylan's starting to get the rat connotation like Jackie does. So I feel like that Jackie could go in the first part. Dylan and Karen could go in the second part. That'd be just great. Let's do that.
You know what was actually pretty funny is that on the feeds, Karen and Jackie were talking, and they were saying, well, you know, there's probably going to be another double or maybe an incident or maybe a triple. There totally could be a triple coming up. And then Jackie or Karen, they were like, yeah, but the triple sucked. Nobody liked the triple. It was the worst. So they're not going to do that or something like that. And it was just like, oh, my God, if only you knew. Karen, she predicts these tweets. She's totally prescient. It's crazy.
Yeah, she does.
I knew it.
She said that she's like, well, that was so bad last time. They would never do that again. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
No one liked it. And I'm like, I've been tweeting Arissa all week because I've been so angry. Like, I'm like, see, Arissa, we done told
you.
Nobody liked it the first time.
Someone else to bother. Yeah.
If they would please give me the Twitter of the Big Brother Canada producers, and I'm happy to tweet somebody else rather than Arissa Cox. Look,
she walks into the production meeting like, guys, I got it. Triple eviction. Let's do it. Make it happen.
Arissa understands that she is the mouthpiece of Big Brother. She doesn't hold it against me.
How do you know she doesn't hold it against you?
Because she doesn't tweet me nasty things, and she watched my Periscope. Hello?
Okay. She wants to see what you're saying.
Oh, my God.
Dragging her. Okay.
Would Julie Chen have watched my Periscope? I think not,
Probably
Rob.
Not. Probably not. Okay. Let's go ahead and get into some of these questions from you guys. And why don't we start off with John Heddles, who says, if Ika hadn't actively antagonized people before the noms, do you think that Kevin would have been more likely to help her, Demetrius, get off of the block? No, right?
Well, if she would have got her head out of her ass when she was having that conversation with Kevin and he was about ready to not put them up, I feel like she was still too boo-hooing herself. Like, you know, like, I already made all these people mad. I get it. I know where you're coming from. Like, I mean, Kevin was basically telling her, I don't want to put you up. No, it's okay. And she just couldn't hear him. For some reason, it was just I was so mad at both of them at that point because I wanted Kevin to change his mind and not put them up, and he ultimately didn't do it, and I wanted Aika to get her head out of her butt and start listening to Kevin and stop feeling bad about herself.
I just love when Aika goes into intimidation mode to people and she says, "Do you really think it's a good idea to make me mad? Is that what you want? Do you want to make Aika angry?" I love it. I love it. It's so great. It's so great. I can't get enough. All right, let's take a question from Jay Steckley, who says, how can Dre be in such a good position when the House collectively voted for her to be nominated during Backwards Week? It's a long season, Melissa.
Yeah, it's a long season. I think that she positions herself well somehow. I honestly don't understand how she wasn't found out earlier. She goes back and forth with people. She tells certain people one thing and certain people another thing, but then also tells everybody her targets, and most of her targets are people that she's supposedly working with. So I honestly have no idea, but I think it's just that other people made themselves bigger targets. So I think that she kind of faded into the background at one point, and everybody else kind of just kept making themselves bigger targets. And at that point, we still had the six.
Right.
So
also, I will say that Backwards Week was like a lifetime ago. I was driving home from the casino having lost $500, bitching to everybody who'll listen, and that was like a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
So like that was ages ago.
And also, she was somebody who just I don't think she was disliked. I think she was just sort of like out of power and people felt
exactly.
Like,
yeah, that was when all of the six were still there. All of the six voted against. Well, they voted against her and Gary.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do a question from Trevor, who says, would you be more open to a triple eviction if at the start of the season they told them it would take place on day X? Brent, do you like that? Okay. Day 62 is going to be a triple eviction.
First of all, they would never do that, so I feel like this is just like fan fiction question. Here's the thing. A triple eviction is a terrible idea here, and here's the reason why. Because there's nowhere for strong players to hide. Let's say somebody gets HOH, they're going to throw up three strong players or two strong players and a pawn, and there's only one veto to be had. So, you know, every week the thing about it is that, you know, that at least, you know, only one person can go. It, that even if they, you know, and you always have a chance to win the veto. But if two strong players are against each other in the veto, one of them is definitely going to go, and probably another strong player too. We got a little lucky last year with, you know, no shade to Willow, but you know, Willow went last year in the triple with Kevin, and she was playing a, you know, a so-so game at that point. But she really wasn't on our TV screen a lot. That's what I'm trying to say. So you know, this year we could really take it. Could be a big blow by losing one good player at the beginning. If this flips back and Aika goes. And then if we possibly lose Demetrius and, and Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as mad at it as you guys are. I mean, I feel like that everybody's got a chance to win the HOH. And then everybody's got a chance to win the veto. And, you know, I go back to, you know, in a double eviction, you know, in Big Brother 14 when Dan was coming for Ian and Ian had to win a veto to, you know, save himself from going home. And he did it in that spot. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. But I'm not so angry going in.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Melissa, we haven't really heard your thoughts on the triple eviction. What do you think about it?
I think the only way I would like a triple eviction is if it was a double eviction plus another eviction, where you played it just the same as a double eviction, but you just add one more at the end with the veto in between, with the HOH, you just do another quick week, because that's the only way to do it where it's fair. And when they first said, oh, the triple eviction, that's what popped into my mind. And I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, what's the big deal? But I just do not like when you save one person and two people, you know, just happen to be, you're always going to have collateral damage. You're never just going to have, you know, it doesn't give anybody a chance.
The best part was Melissa learning about the rules of the triple eviction because she had not really been familiar with it back in Big Brother Canada 3. And we were getting ready to do the show on Thursday night. And she was like, I don't really like the rules of the triple eviction.
Yeah.
Like, now you
understand. I was like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
What if
it's terrible?
They did it in the Melissa way. Could they do, like, the third eviction on Sunday night or on the Monday night episode? Could they, like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do it like...
Yeah, either that or they just started earlier.
Yeah, well, even if they didn't have enough time to do that, they could do like the old Big Brothers used to do back in, you know, Big Brother 7 when they had a fast-forward week where they had an eviction on Thursday night, they had a double eviction. What they did was they had an eviction on Thursday night, and then on Monday or Tuesday they'd have an eviction, and then they'd have another eviction on Thursday. Like, I mean, it would be a taped eviction. Mm-hmm. I remember Howie went home in All-Stars during the taped fast-forward week. But they could do something like that where they did a double eviction on Thursday,
right,
and then just evicted somebody 3 days later. Like, we would totally mm-hmm. be cool with that. And by the way, that would be totally cool because right now it feels like the week is over from me and Melissa's perspective. Like, we're ready to have a vote right now.
We've seen everything.
3 days for this. So, yeah, just fast-forward already.
You're just ready to vote because mm-hmm. Ike is safe right now.
And it would be great. It would be, you're right. And it would be great, Rob, because fast forward would totally go in with the theme of this season with time travel and all that. I mean, it would totally be great. And it's something they've never done before, so they could do it.
Okay. You know, we'll see how it plays out on Thursday. I may reserve the right to change my tune, but I do think they also really hype and promote the triple eviction, too. I'm not sure if it ends up in a rating spike, but that would be good information to have as well.
Yeah, you always want better ratings for your show at the expense of your game. That's really, really a good idea. All right. Look, and I'm the person who says to Taryn and Alex all the time that this doesn't take place in a vacuum, that this is a TV show. I get that, okay? I just feel like there's a way to do it to make the fans happy. The people that actually love the show and watch fervently and faithfully every season, okay, those people are the people that you should be catering to, not the has-beens who maybe watch, like, once every month. I mean, that
the has-beens?
Yeah, you know.
All right, Jordan Chong wants to know, Dre, rat floater or master middle player? Okay, Brent, you called her a rat earlier in this show. Melissa, where do you land on this?
I don't think she's a rat floater. I don't think that she's a master middle player. I think she's a middle player. I don't know if she's a master of it. But I do think that, you know, in this particular situation, she's done a good job in the center. Although more recently, she's kind of been going the rat route. So I think that it's kind of a combination of the two. But I don't see her as a rat. I see Jackie more as a rat floater than I do Dre, because I think Dre picks her sides and she's very clear on it. But I think now that we're getting down to the end of the game, she's recognizing that certain people need to leave for her to win.
Okay. Right. I also agree that she's not a rat. I did say that she was a rat earlier, but she's not really a rat. She's more of just, she's a good old fashioned liar. That's all. She's lying. She understands the game. You have to lie to people in order. I mean, it's like, you know, the whole thing with Kevin's nominations, where it was that Dre was, you know, being nice to him up front, saying, you know, I totally understand where you're coming from. We're with you. Me and William support you. But behind his back, she was like, I really hope that Kevin takes a swing at Ike and Dimitri's to get them out so that we can evict him next week. So she's just a duplicitous player, but she doesn't spill all the tea like Jackie does to everybody,
like
depending
James
on
does.
Who's in power. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mr. K17, is Dylan serious about working with Ike and Dimitri's, or is he giving them false hope for an Ike blindside on Bloody Thursday? Melissa, is this going back to that he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of the vote?
Yeah, I don't think he's planning this all out to do a great big blindside. I think he's kind of going back and forth and wavering between what he should be doing and who he should be voting for, and kind of whoever he's talking to at one point, if they convince him to do one thing, he'll do it. And then you go back to the other person and they tell him something else. And I think that he's just kind of taking what everybody says. And I don't think he's a dumb player. I don't know if that's a hot take, but I don't think he's a dumb player. I mean, from what he was saying to his discussions with Dre that I was listening to, I don't think he's dumb. I think he kind of sees what's going on, but I also think he overestimates his ability and how good he is, if that makes sense.
Brent cosigns. All right, let's do one more question.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to let her talk. I didn't want to, like, always have something to say after she talks. I do, but here I go. I'll do it anyway. Like, I think that Dylan is serious about wanting to keep Ike and Dimitri's, or I keep Ike right now. However, he's vacillating and he's looking at all his options, and he's also worried that he's being played. He doesn't want to be played. He knows that these people, that Aika and Demetrius and Kevin were part of the six initially. He saw them high five. He's worried that they're being played, that basically that everybody has deals with everybody, and he is worried about how he fits into all that, and he should worry about that.
Okay. And then one last question from Reagan Peterson. If Aika goes, what's Demetrius' best play? Eventually, someone needs to pick up Jackie. Melissa, where does Demetrius go from here? To Kevin, to Jackie, to where?
I think he would go to Kevin. Or at least I think that that would be best for his game, is to go to Kevin. I don't see it ending well for him. Huh?
Can he beat Kevin?
I think it's tough, but I think in order to get there at all, he needs to go with Kevin. I was trying to map out everybody's potential nominations for the next, if they happen to win HOH. And first of all, it's impossible because it changes at all times. So my little sheet of paper has a bunch of little scribbles everywhere because everybody's changing and everybody's telling different things to different people. But I think that a lot of people are going to go after Demetrius and Kevin because they see them as threats, the biggest right. threats in the game. So I think that he has to work with Kevin in order to move forward because nobody else is going to want to work with him for real.
I feel like Demetrius' best play, if Aika is evicted, is to go after William because that will bring Kevin closer to him. Don't nominate Kevin. Let's assume, it's a big assumption. You never know with an HOH competition. But another reason to get Jackie out, by the way, is that the HOH competition for the last triple was like a big, you know, events and questions and answers thing. And she knows those down pat, like I said. So let's say Demetrius wins the HOH competition, keeps Kevin safe. And remember, at that point, they're to the final five. It takes us all the way to the final five after the triple. So I do believe that if Demetrius showed Kevin a little bit of loyalty, that I think Kevin would ride with him. And William was gone. I think he would show him a little bit of loyalty and say, I really appreciate you getting me through that triple. Because let's remember, Kevin was evicted during the last triple, has had nightmares about it, said that's the reason why he came back and wanted redemption. If he survives the triple, I mean, I think he would just be so grateful for it because he hasn't, he's not a total gamer. He's not. That's what I've seen this season. He's got a little bit, he plays it with emotions sometimes, and that can make him make mistakes.
Okay. Let's just get some predictions on the record. Melissa, is Kevin going to go out in the triple eviction?
I'm going to say no.
No. Okay. Brent, is
Kevin
he's going
not.
Out in the triple eviction?
I'm also an optimist, and I'm going to say no, he's not going to go out in the triple eviction. That is contingent on him working to make sure that Aika stays in the house.
Yeah.
If Aika does go out, then all bets are off, and
yeah.
girl bye to Kevin.
Okay. I agree. If Aika goes out, if Aika stays this week, I think Kevin stays in the triple. If Aika goes out this week, I think Kevin goes home.
Okay. I agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. I think he'll go out in the triple eviction. I think it's just like the Cindy thing. I think that these vets going out, history repeats itself.
They're going out in similar ways. It's insane. It's crazy to see.
Yeah.
They just keep going out exactly the same way that they did the first time.
That Bruno went out by a twist last time, and this time he was on the block with Kevin, thinking he might have a chance to stay, rightfully so, because there were people that wanted Kevin out. All of a sudden, a secret veto pops up. Kevin's off mm-hmm. the block, and now he's got a campaign against
and
Aaron.
I think it was also the same week.
Yeah.
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 So everybody's going out in a very similar fashion that they were the first time. It is very, very weird.
Rob ran a time loop on the Odyssey. Yeah. That's what it is.
Your final destination is the triple eviction. I'm sorry to say it. There's
God.
No way out. Okay.
Ah.
All right. Sad story. All right. Well, we'll see how it all plays out this Wednesday night when Brent, correct me if I'm wrong, Godfrey is going to be joining Jordan on Wednesday. Is that right?
I don't know, but that would be great. Yeah. I think, yes, Melissa's saying yes. That would be great. So we can hear Godfrey. We can hear about his take on Cindy's game. And also, I'm sure he has a lot to say about Kevin's game.
Yes.
And now's the time to get him on right before the triple.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So be on the lookout for that on Wednesday night. So very exciting to see how the home stretch plays out. Great job tonight, Brent and Melissa. You can follow Brent on Twitter. He's at OneLuckyGay. And also, Melissa is at Melissa with 17 A's at the end.
Close. Okay. It's Melissa with 3 A's.
With three A's. Okay. All right. And then, of course, thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We've got plenty more Big Brother Canada 5 coming up here in these next couple of weeks as we are cruising in for the home stretch for the Odyssey here in Big Brother Canada 5. So make sure you subscribe to the Rahapups feed, robvisitwebsite.com/Rahapups. Anything else?
Nope, good show. A lot of stuff to get to. I feel like I talked a million miles a minute because there was so much information to get out to everybody. But I feel like we did a good job today. A
lot of stuff going on. All right, everybody, have a good night. Take care. Bye.